Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Excellent.
Great.
Excellent.
Great.
I finished a retreat about 3 hours ago.
Wow.
And it was a marvelous retreat.
Uh-huh.
And, so I'm in that after retreat, boy, life is good kind of place.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. After retreat glow.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It was so fun because this was one of our vacation retreats like we do in Italy or Costa Rica or places like that.
Yes.
And so we had primarily people who are not at all used to going on retreat. Usually when we go on retreat, it's a Zen retreat.
Yes.
And, well, I mean, this was a Zen retreat, but it's not a Zen vacation retreat. And so most of the people are there because they do Zen practice to whatever degree. And the new people are definitely in the minority. So we have a lot of experienced meditators, people who are used to the practice, and then a few new people come, which is very fun for us.
Yes.
But this was almost all people who were completely unfamiliar with our practice. Most of them had read a book or so.
Uh-huh.
And they came because it's a vacation retreat, because they're not ready
yes.
to really jump into that silent environment. And so they came in last Wednesday. I guess we started last Wednesday afternoon. And, you know, people are very, oh, my goodness, what have I gotten myself into? This is, you know, this is going to be overwhelming and terrifying. And then after a few days, you can just watch people just like flowers, just open and blossom and transform. And so today when we left, you know, we're all in that place where we just want to go live together, or maybe just stay in Carmel and live together. It was very fun. And the monks were there cooking, so the food was extraordinary. And we had yoga and Pilates and you know, groups. And because it's a vacation retreat, we did things like sea kayaking and went to the aquarium together and went on this wonderful hike to a place called the Indian Birthing Grounds.
Wow.
Along the coast. And
wow.
It was just, it was very, very, very fun.
Sounds fabulous.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So practice, you know, practice does not have to be hard or grim. It can be joyful and fun and exciting. And
yes.
We proved it this week.
Yes, definitely. And if people are curious about vacation retreats or other kind of retreats, they could go to your website.
Yes.
And take a look at all of your talks and workshops and retreats.
You know, we try to cover the waterfront. So we have one-day things, and we have evening talks. And
yes.
We have places like Esalen that are, you know, massages and hot tubs and workshops. And then we have Zen retreats in August. You know, we'll have at Carmel again the Zen work retreat, which is primarily in silence, and it's very meditative and mindful, and so it's the whole range. So hopefully anybody who wants to get into deepen their awareness practice at any level can find some way to plug in.
Mm-hmm.
And of course there's always the radio show where they can call us.
I was gonna say
and next week on Monday we start an email class.
Yes.
So, lots of opportunities.
Yeah, peace from the inside out.
Peace from the inside out. Isn't that good?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Rather than the way it seems to be often portrayed, which
yeah,
is...
Yeah, all I have to do is change and fix you, and then I'll have a peaceful life.
Yes.
That's the way we're conditioned to believe it works.
Once you are peaceful, then I can be at peace.
That's right. If you'll be the person I want you to be, then I'll have a good life. And so this idea of first this person gets transformed, and then we look out and see what the world is like and how things need to be different and what kind of a difference we might like to work toward.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes. Fascinating. All of that information and more is on Sherry's website, which is sherryhuber.com, spelled sherryhuber.com. Lots of information there about the retreats, email classes, information on how to get in touch with Sherry if people want to do that. So check that out. Also, if you want to get in touch with us by email, you can reach us at openair@kzsu.org. So if you have a question, if you want to let us know you're out there, please feel free to email us. We'd love to hear from you.
Or pick up the phone and call us.
Pick up the phone and call us. Right now would be a perfect time to do that.
What number would they dial?
The number is 650-723-9010. Again, that's 650-723-9010. And what do we want to hear about today, Sherry?
Oh, gosh. As far as I'm concerned, anything. You know, that, again, that's the fun part of being on retreat with a group of people, is that people, you know, we're conditioned to believe that we're so different, and we're not. We're so alike. It's just, it's either very comforting or unnerving, depending on our perspective. But the content of our lives is different. So, you know, we have people looking at all sorts of things. We have people with small children, with grown children, with no children, in relationship, not in relationship, in a career, in a job, you know, loving what they're doing, hating what they're doing. So there's just this whole range of life circumstances that we get to look at through the lens of, how do I cause myself to suffer? How can I drop that in suffering? So, you know.
Yes.
Whatever.
Yes.
I like to talk about anything that comes back to, how do I suffer? How do I not suffer?
Yes.
And we can, you know, most of us are not going to approach something like awareness practice until we're suffering at a pretty good clip.
Yes.
And then it becomes a priority. Okay, I want to find out how this works because I don't want to have this experience anymore. But we really can approach it from either direction. We can approach it from, well, gosh, right now I'm not suffering, and I would like to know what the components of that are so that I can continue not to suffer. Or maybe I'm in a place of suffering, and maybe I wasn't recently. And so I can see the difference and think, well, now, wait a minute. What just happened? How did I get to this place of suffering? Because I would like to see how that works so that I can perhaps make different choices. And so, you know, we can come at it from a lot of directions.
Mm-hmm. How life works, as I often hear you talk about it also.
Yeah, how life works. We were talking about it this morning in group as this is the master game. This is the... When you've played all the other games in life, this is the master game. So, you know, how do I make a relationship work? How do I make a career work? How do I work the money thing? How do I feel secure? How do I overcome anxiety or depression or fear or whatever it is? And those are all fascinating things to work on. And then after we've gotten a few of those under our belt, it begins to occur to us that, you know, this whole thing called life is a process.
Yes.
So how does that work?
Yes.
And then it gets really exciting.
Yes. And there are some people online here that I think have that very question.
Wonderful.
All right. I'd like to welcome Tom from San Jose. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Michael. Hi, Sherry.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. How are you?
Doing well, thank you. And you?
I could be better.
Okay. Well, let's take a look at that.
Well, good. I'm glad. That's what I need. I'm having some difficulties right now with between myself and my wife.
Uh-huh.
We're looking at the possibility of her parents babysitting our daughter, who's 2.5 now.
Uh-huh.
And her parents drink more than I find comfortable. And so I would rather not have them watch her when it's late at night or overnight.
Uh-huh.
And we talk about this, and, you know, it's sometimes it seems fairly simple, but when my wife and I talk about it, it very, very often degenerates into an argument.
Mm-hmm.
And no communication at all.
And her perspective on it is?
Her perspective on it is they raised her. She came out just fine. And she thinks they, she says, you know, they would never do anything to harm our daughter. And they're wonderful people, and they ought to be able to watch her whenever they want.
Or whenever you want.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, yeah. And does it seem to your wife that that these folks drink excessively?
Yes, it does.
So she knows they drink excessively, and she still has confidence that within their level of drinking, they can be responsible.
Yes, that's right.
And your perspective is?
That they don't, that they can't. That they, you know, that it's a classic alcoholic type of situation where, you know, the one drink is too many. And 1,000 drinks isn't enough. And, you know, their ability to take care of her once that first drink is taken is not there anymore.
And have you observed that?
I've observed their drinking. I've observed them get to a place where I know I wouldn't want them to be watching the baby. We haven't hung out with them a lot at night in a long time.
Largely so, because of this issue?
Kind of because of this issue, yeah. And also, you know, they kind of tend to go to bed early, and, you know, they like their time around bedtime to themselves, I would think. So we tend to go home because the baby's asleep. So.
And have you brought this up with them at all?
I have. I brought it up to them and told them that I was concerned that their ability to take care of the baby would be impaired by their drinking. And the response I got was, how could you even think that anything like that, we would ever do anything like that? And, of course, we would never, ever do anything like that. Very similar to what my wife says.
But this do anything like that, what you're pointing at is not a behavior. You're not concerned about a behavior. You're concerned about a lack of ability to be present.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not that you think that they would get drunk and drop her.
That's right.
Not that they would go,
I'm going to drink so I can mess up this baby or anything like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so where do you, like when you present this to your wife, here's what, so instead of trying to lead you all around the mulberry bush, let me just tell you what occurs to me, and then I'd like to hear what you have to say.
That sounds fine.
Because when my daughter was little, my mother-in-law drank a very great deal, and I simply said, that, you know, she's not going to be left alone with her, and she's never going to get in the car with her. That's you know, that those are my rules. And so I relate really really strongly to what you're saying. And the place that I got to with it was, I can't take a chance on this, because if I go along with this against my better judgment and something happens, I will never be able to forgive myself. I will never be able to forgive you. And it would just be the end of things.
Yeah.
So can you give me this? You know, the baby can be with them during the day. She can be with them when one of us is around. You know, whatever you're comfortable with, it pretty much as they would like. And this is the line over which I cannot step, because... The stakes are too high for me. Can you allow me to have this?
Yeah, I see what you mean. And I've come to that point with her and told her that before, and maybe not in as strong as, of terms as I need to. Because we
have gotten... To make it clear...
Sorry?
To make it clear how truly important it is for you.
Yeah. You know, I have gotten to that point with her before, with my wife. And she has said, well know that's not okay. You know, it's not okay for her not to be watched by my parents.
And does she say why?
She says, as I said, she says it's they raised her just fine. She came out just fine. They would never do anything to hurt her. They're wonderful people. They love her so much. She loves them so much. All these things.
And so to me, what it comes down to is this is not about them. It's about you.
Uh-huh.
So it's as if you were saying to your wife, it's really important to me. It's really, really, really important to me. And then whatever it is, that the television set isn't in the living room, or that the baby doesn't watch television, or that the baby doesn't eat sugar, or whatever it is. It's not actually about the baby. It's about me. I'm asking for this for me, because it is too upsetting to me to have it any other way. Can you give me this?
Yes.
So it's with the acknowledgement that you could be completely neurotic about this.
That's my question. Is this neurosis, or am I actually seeing
well,
something?
My take on it is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You're not saying these people are dangerous, I don't like them, I don't want my child. You're not saying that. You're saying this, I am so uncomfortable with this. I am so afraid of this situation that I'm asking you, in order to support me, in order to take care of me in this marriage, will you give me this?
Uh-huh.
Acknowledging that, yes, okay, it may be neurotic. I don't know. All I know is the stakes are too high for me. I cannot be all right with this.
Uh-huh. That sounds like something I can say.
Yeah.
And
see where it goes.
And see where it goes. And, you know, I've actually, you know, taken the time to make an appointment with a counselor to see if maybe it is a neurosis on my part.
Uh-huh.
And to actually do
well, you know, it doesn't really matter. On a certain level, so you and I are married, and I am terrified of flying. I'm terrified. You want to go on a vacation to Las Vegas, and you want to fly, and I'm terrified. Now, do you really have the right to say to me, well, you need to fly, because I want to go on this vacation, and I want to fly? Or in the relationship is one of the things that might be possible for us to work together on this. So often when I'm working with a couple, what I will point out is, so here's this thing, my fear of flying, and it's put right in between us. And you want me to fly anyway, and I'm looking at you like you're the devil. Because how could you not care how I feel? How could you want me to do this thing that is so horrific for me? How could you possibly love me and want me to be terrified? Now, you on your side are looking at me going, how could you love me and not do this very simple thing that I'm asking you to do? So we both get to that place of what's going on here is, if you loved me, you would give me what I want.
Yeah.
So can we take that thing and set it over to the side somewhere and both sit next to each other and look at this problem that we have? Because we both have this problem. It's not just my problem. That's the way it's framed. If we go back to your marriage and this child and your in-laws, it's your problem. None of them have a problem.
That's right.
It's your problem. But it's not just your problem. It's your problem, and it's your wife's problem, and it's the relationship's problem, and it's the family's problem. So now, can we all take responsibility for this problem that we have and work to a solution?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I think a place that I often go to is, a place where, well, I'm the one who's causing the problem and I need to back off.
That's right. And what's going to happen as you back off?
I'm going to get trampled on.
That's right. And you're going to get resentful, angry.
Uh-huh.
Frustrated.
Uh-huh. Anxiety.
Yeah. You're going to be anxious.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, yeah. And so the, you know, we could say, well, the problem has been solved because he got over it. But all we've done is take the problem to a whole new level.
That's right.
Yeah. Before we had a problem with the in-laws and the child and alcohol. Now we have a problem in the marriage.
That's right.
Because we have resentment and fear and anxiety and lack of trust and feeling unloved. And now we have a major in-the-family problem to deal with.
That's
and
right.
We still have the original problem.
That's right. We have more.
We've just compounded our problems.
Right.
Yeah. So that would be my encouragement. You know, can you give me this? Can you give me this? And will you join me in solving this problem together?
Uh-huh.
So that it makes our family stronger rather than tearing our family apart, which is the great potential in this.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because if the two of you can get together and become a strong unit as you resolve this issue, you know, your family is going to take a quantum leap forward.
Yeah, I can see that.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess I see very clearly what you were saying about how we both want something, and the two things are not compatible.
That's right. And in a relationship, whatever the relationship is, I swear it always comes to that. If you loved me, you would.
Yeah.
And then fill in the blank. You know, you are not giving me what I want because you don't love me. You don't appreciate me. If you really did, then you would give me what I want. And in this case, it can very well be I love you and I don't want to give you what you want because it frightens me, because the stakes are too high, because this child is too important to me, because I see this differently than you do. It has nothing to do with loving you, although if we push it, it can come to that.
Yeah. Yeah, it sure does.
Mm-hmm.
And the last few times we've talked about it, it has not gone well at all.
Yeah. Now, you know the therapist that I always recommend? Have we? I don't know if we've ever talked about. Yeah, the Imago Therapy.
Imago Therapy, yes.
Yeah, do a big commercial here for anybody in relationship to find an Imago therapist who teaches dialogue, and that is going to enable both of you to really hear the other person's position and turn this situation from being a wedge between you to something that brings you together and strengthens your bond.
Well, that would be amazing because...
Wouldn't that be a grand thing?
Boy, it sure would, because I see the power that's in it to drive us apart. The power for it to pull us together will be just as great, I'm sure.
Exactly, yeah.
As long as we direct it in the right way.
You know, when people can step back and look at it, this really is all about that child. You know, is she going to have a family that is torn apart, or a family that is brought together? And in that way, even the in-laws can be included.
That's right.
If they're willing. Because if they can get to the place of understanding what we're talking about here, I would bet that they would say, okay, well, we don't agree with you, and it doesn't matter. We want what's best for this child, so how do we work this out?
Uh-huh.
We all love this child. That's the thing that this whole group of people has in common.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, that's very helpful. I think I can do that.
Good. And at some point, you might have them all listen to this conversation.
That's not a bad idea on the archives.
Mm-hmm. Just to get a conversation going, especially when you get that therapist involved.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Well,
let us know.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Tom. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, it's a busy night here.
Isn't that good?
Phones are ringing.
Good.
And I'm continually impressed by the courage of people who call in. It just amazes me.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit on the retreat. That,
yes.
It's a really scary thing to do.
Yes.
And people step up to the plate.
Yes.
Which is wonderful.
Yes.
Helps us all.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I love your image of getting on the same side of the problem.
Uh-huh.
Rather than it being in between us.
Yeah, our conditioning is so much to who's right, who's wrong,
mm-hmm.
get in a position, defend it to the death, and
mm-hmm.
forget that what we really want is connection.
Yes.
What we really want is unconditional love and acceptance. So what's going to move toward that? And usually being right doesn't.
Yeah.
So how can we find that place that's most compassionate for all?
Yes. Wonderful. All right. I'd like to welcome Joy from New York. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I fear I'm going to turn this into the relationship show.
Good. Relationship is good.
Well, this is another romantic relationship question.
Uh-huh.
All right. So it's really about, I guess, what we think we want. I have a boyfriend who I've been with a long time, and he wants kids, and I don't. And it's...
Now, that in itself is unusual, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, leave it to me, right?
You probably have a lot of girlfriends who are in the opposite position.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's a real impasse. What amazes me about it...
That's huge.
Yeah, I mean, we both stay in it. That's what's amazing to me.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder whether we're just both, you know, sort of addicted to our own suffering over this issue.
Uh-huh. Where are you with it? Because as time goes on, you're increasing your chances of getting what you want.
That's correct, yeah.
Right? And he's decreasing his chances. So, you know, where are you in that? Does he talk about leaving the relationship in order to find someone who wants a family?
No. What's interesting about this, I guess, is that he's a little older. Or he's 49. So my feeling on him is that if he wanted kids, he would have had them by now. But that's just a projection. I don't know, you know? I mean...
That's not what he says.
No, correct.
Yeah. So I was just actually reading an article about that. The number of women who get past childbearing years and deeply regret their decision. And what the person who was studying this was talking about is how around the world it's becoming more difficult for people to have children. It's too expensive. You know, children used to be a financial benefit. Now they're a financial detriment.
Right.
And by the time people get to the age where they could have children comfortably, could afford to raise them,
right.
They're too old to have them.
Yeah.
So this was talking about the number of women who, through those years, were focused on career and other interests, and then they hit 45 or 50, and they change. You know, they're not so focused on the things that they were focused on when they were younger. Then there's the kind of the time and space to regret what they didn't choose, and perhaps your partner is in that kind of category.
Sure, and I'm of course in fear that I'll end up in that category.
Yes. Oh well, yes, of course. It's all of life is like that, right? Because if you had children, if you decided to have children, you could fear that you would regret that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Many people do.
Sure.
Yeah, because then the rest of your life is about having children. You know, people who don't have children think, well, it goes till they're 18. Or, you know, if you're really an expansive parent, until they get out of college. But
right.
anyone who has a child knows it's a lifetime. You know, you have them for as long as you live. And you're always in that relationship and in that role. That's just how it is. So as if we are going to regret, there's always something to regret.
I suppose he and I are very kind of, we're present to each other and compassionate on this issue. We understand each other. It's hard to get past our positions. And sort of maybe unlike the last caller, like it feels like there's no way for us to stay together and want different
yeah.
things.
Oh, don't you think that that's true?
I do.
I mean, somebody has to change their mind. Right? Or the odds of it going in the way that we were just talking about with Tom are huge. Somebody is going to have what they want, and somebody is not going to have what they want. And children is kind of a big piece of content. You know, there's one person wants to live in the desert, and the other person wants to live in New York City.
Right, that's a different, yeah.
Yeah, and yet it's still going to come down to someone is going to get what they want and someone is going to make the sacrifice. So if you can, you know, if you feel like you can happily adjust to living in one place or the other and really be happy there, then that's one thing. But if it is a sacrifice and it remains a sacrifice, that's going to take a toll on a relationship.
Sure. Okay, Sherry. I was looking for the solution where you said.
The solution what?
I was looking for the solution where you'd say something like, "Oh no, this is the this is the third alternative that has nothing to do with children."
Uh-huh. Well, there is that option of someone legitimately, genuinely letting go of their position for the relationship.
Right.
To say, I would really like to have children, and more than I would like to have children, I would like to spend the rest of my life with you. And I'm,
right.
And that's it. That's my choice, and I'm happy with it. Or, you know, I would like not to have children. That would be my preference.
Right.
And more than that, I would like to have a family with you and really be able to let go and make that my choice.
Right.
Then there's a third option. That's a very big step for most folks to take.
Yeah. I mean, to do it so that it's not a sacrifice is a big step.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So that 20 years from now, somebody isn't saying, well, you know, what I really wanted was, but he or she, and so I went along, and you can kind of hear the resentment
sure,
in their
sure.
voice. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your perspective. I think you're right. I just needed to hear it from someone I respect.
Well, thank you. Thank you. Let us know, huh?
Okay.
Yeah, keep us posted as the two of you work through this, because it's, you know, it applies to all of us. It's just such a, again, we could change the content of it, but that kind of process that we get to in life is universal.
You mean the process of taking positions or the one of...
The process of taking positions. You know, we can do it inside ourselves.
Yeah.
There's a part of me who wants children and a part of me who doesn't want children. And I have worked with many, many people who are having that battle inside themselves. Forget a partner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or I want to do this, but I want to do this. I love this work. Part of me loves this work. Part of me hates it. Part of me feels like it's consuming my whole life. And there's the two positions inside, and the person going back and forth, trying to get to that place of acceptance, that place of resolution, of letting go, of accepting. It's very difficult.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you again.
Okay. Thank you. Good night.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Joy. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. We're going to take a break, and we'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Stay tuned to KZSU. We're going to be on the air here until 6 o'clock today. Sherry, a lot of courage, I hear, on the air here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, the other thing I hear, I do those public service announcements, they always get to me, you know.
Yes.
I'm always just, I don't know what word it is to use, but sort of inspired by all of the good things that people are doing,
mm-hmm.
all of the efforts that people are making just kind of in every direction in the world.
Yes.
And it occurred to me that as we go on with our show, it would be a really fun thing if people would let us know about projects that they know about, that they hear about. You know, like the volunteer in
Asia.
Volunteers in Asia.
Yes.
You know, or the HRC, I think, was the next one. And,
yes.
You know, we hear about adopting sea turtles and, you know, just amazing stuff that people are doing everywhere around the planet.
Mm-hmm.
And if people would just let us know, like, the name of the organization and about two lines on what they do and their website.
That would be great.
And then, you know, if people don't want to get involved with the Africa Project or the Peace Center or any of the wonderful works we're doing, as if they could pass that up. But, you know, it might not be their cup of tea, and they might really prefer, you know, finding out about some of these other organizations and maybe volunteering or just, you know, sending them an email and thanking them for their good work or whatever. I think it's just fun to hear about just the good things people are doing.
Yes.
We hear about so much that isn't good in the world.
Yes.
So much that's painful and harmful.
Yes. And should people email us or give us a call?
Sure, whatever they want to do.
Whatever they want to do.
If they would email us, then, you know, kind of on every show we could do our own little public, you know, like if you listen to public radio, they say, brought to you by, blah, 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 and they do their two sentences, you know, about what it is and their website, and then that's it. And
yes.
Only, you know, then they pay public radio a lot of money to do that. We don't even require that. We'll just do a little free advertising.
Yes.
Yeah.
And our email address is openair@kzsu.org. Sherry, the phones are still blinking here.
Excellent.
I'd like to welcome Kate from Kansas City. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Hi.
Good evening.
Good evening. I'm watching how I'm in the midst of a transition, and I notice that someone who is really terrified shows up, and a couple things happen. First of all, I'm not able to be there for her because someone else shows up who's very threatened by this fear.
Uh-huh.
And
So there you are, making a transition, making a move of some sort in your life, mm-hmm. and somebody is afraid of the transition,
mm-hmm.
and then somebody else in you, another part of you, is afraid of the fear.
Definitely. They're threatened by that fear.
Uh-huh.
And I think I don't see it until someone else reaches out to be supportive, and I can't even show up.
So whoever you are then,
right.
There's so much fear of the transition, fear of the emotion of fear, that you're completely unconscious in the situation.
Oh, yeah. I'm completely identified. And I think it's with the one who is terrified of the terror.
That you're just paralyzed by that person's fear, anxiety, dread, whatever it is.
It is, and the way that I experience it is whatever's happening just deepens the experience of terror. Whatever is occurring or whatever someone's saying to me, I just go deeper and deeper and deeper into typically a bodily sensation of nausea and I can't even think of what the self-talk would be, just like, what are you thinking? This is never going to work.
Let me ask you this. You have read the fear book.
I have read the fear book. It's unfortunately not with me in the location that I am right now. So I need to get a copy close by.
Yeah, or we could just do the simple little run-through.
Okay? Great.
So there you are, and your stomach is in a knot, and you feel sick at your stomach.
Yeah.
Is that true?
Yep.
Yeah.
Not at right at this moment. That's what's happening.
Yeah, when you're in that state. Right, if you were in that state right now, you wouldn't be talking to me, right? You'd be paralyzed somewhere in a corner.
No, it's funny because then I call out for help, and of course, you know, self-hate comes in with, that's a stupid question, you already know the answer, but here I am.
Yeah, and that's somebody else, right?
Yeah.
That's a voice that's designed to keep you in this paralyzed state.
Yeah.
Yeah? So, which is important to see, right? When you're, if you do your process mapping that we talk about, you know, you get your little post-its out, and there's the person who is terrified of the transition. And that's a whole, you know, you could do a little cluster around that. Mm-hmm. So what is this person afraid of? What does it mean to be in transition? What's going to happen? What's going to be lost? What's going to be gained? What is there to worry about? What are you not going to be equal to? Why are we so afraid of this? And not that we ever ask why, of course, but that's the question that's being answered. Okay. Then the next cluster is paralyzed, terrified by this person's anxiety or fear.
Mm-hmm.
So then you can do a cluster around that, right? I mean, what is it about being afraid that is so terrifying? So then we start, as you mentioned, with the sensations in the body. So now I'm sick at my stomach. Well, okay, I'm sick at my stomach. Now I could be sick at my stomach because I ate something bad. I could be sick at my stomach because I have motion sickness. I could be sick at my stomach because of a ton of things. And so what is it about that has anything to do with fear? So I'm going to take a new job. I'm going to leave the job that I'm in and I'm going to take a new job. And I get sick at my stomach. How does that work? You know, what is the relationship between those two things? So then now I start looking at that. When do I get sick at my stomach? How do I maintain that? What happens to me when I have those sensations in my body? What story am I telling myself? What does this mean?
Mm-hmm.
And as we break it down like that, we begin to see very clearly that these sensations in my body are just sensations in my body. So I have these sensations. We were on this last retreat, we were sea kayaking. And so we're sitting out there in our little boats, and our guides are telling us about sea otters and whatever. And pretty soon everybody's going, I think we need to paddle because we're all getting seasick sitting there on the ocean, you know, swaying back and forth. Okay, now, if we had all gotten seasick, so there's the, you know, the stomach is churning and the head's getting kind of strange, and okay, so I'm sick at my stomach. So what if I get sick at my stomach? So what? Do you see what I'm saying? Are you there?
I'm here.
Okay. Barely?
Huh?
It's trying to go in.
It's what?
It's trying to go in.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank God we have archives, right? So my point about this is to challenge that with reality. Okay. So I'm sick at my stomach. So What? What if I throw up? Am I going to die? Am I, you know, so what? If I can move through that place, so my knees get weak, okay, so what? What is actually going to happen to me? What it comes down to for most people is, I don't want to feel this. Mm-hmm. Okay, now we're back to, who doesn't want to feel this?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's nothing, you know, little kids, you take a little kid, or sometimes big kids, to a carnival or a theme park or that sort of thing. And what do they want to do? They want to do things to their senses until they throw up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So ride those rides that terrify you, that leave, you know, your body's on the ground and your stomach is halfway up in the air somewhere. Because it's fun. Because the feeling. You know, you get on the roller coaster and you scream all the way down as your stomach drops to your feet. Okay? So that's considered a good time. But if it has to do with a new job or a new relationship or a new city or whatever, then that's not considered a good time. Why? Again, we want to get to the bottom of this. Well, usually it's because of the story, because of what it means. So now we're looking at, what is the story? What am I being told about this? What is it about these sensations in my body that are so horrific? I don't want to feel this way. Who doesn't want to feel this way? Why not feel this way? What if I'm going to feel this way for the rest of my life? Would I rather be dead? No. Okay, if those are the two choices, I either feel this way or I'm dead, I'll feel this way. I'll learn to live with it. Okay, we can make that choice ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
Do you see what I'm saying?
So just being in, deciding that you're going to be in despite the ride.
That's right. That's right. This is the ride. This is the ride I'm on.
And then I guess what comes up is confusion, and I know about confusion.
Yep,
and what
we know
it
how
comes
we get
up
confused.
Is, right.
Uh-huh.
Going out to conditioning to understand.
That's right.
But then, but
and
what
so
it comes...
Tell me what confusion is. What does confusion say to confuse you?
It's, what's the difference between sticking in, staying put, and knowing when to step back to,
well,
quote unquote, take care
that.
Of myself.
I can answer that.
Okay.
You always stay in, and you always take care of yourself.
What does that look like?
Well, what that looks like is I'm on the ride. Okay? The car took off down the track. The ride is going to last for however long it lasts.
Right.
Stopping is not an option. The only thing I can do is be present, go with it, and take care of myself. Now, taking care of myself is not going up into my conditioned mind to hear somebody screaming about how we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Taking care of myself is staying with it. I'm breathing. I'm here. I'm present. I'm feeling what this feels like. I'm staying with it.
And I guess that's just, I'll have to keep looking at that to see, because there's definitely a part of me that just stops the ride and gets off. It sees it as, this is a sign that something's wrong, too much,
that's right.
Step back.
Now here's the thing that I would ask you to consider.
Okay.
You cannot stop the ride and you cannot get off. That's called being dead. So,
But I mean, there are times when I guess what happens in that, a couple days ago I was in that place, and I thought, and I don't know how much of it this is a story, but, you know, I've really been pushing myself, I'm really tired, I haven't been eating well, let's step back from what hasn't been that kind, that then feeds that fear, and I guess
so
I'm wondering.
Here's what I would say. You learn to step back when conditioned voices are pushing you forward. And when the conditioned voices tell you to step back, that's when you keep going.
Wow.
So here I am. I haven't been eating well. I haven't been sleeping. Okay, so I need to look to my conditioned mind to decide what I need to change in order to be all right. Nope. So I just keep going, because remember, you can't step off the ride. All we do is go unconscious. That's not the same thing as getting off the ride. Okay, so I'm going to stay on the ride, and I need to attend to my food, and I need to start getting more sleep, and I keep right on going.
I'll have to look more at this getting off the ride and staying on, and there's definitely a lot of just muddle there.
Yes, because that's how conditioned mind controls us. So you look to conditioned mind, and it says, you need to blah, 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 blah. Or this is getting to be too much. You need to da, 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 da. And that's how that whole system maintains itself. So we stop looking there for advice and encouragement, which ends the confusion and ends the muddle. What we do instead is look to the breath.
Is to do what?
We look to the breath and let the moment guide us.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I guess sometimes it seems like those voices are so loud, I can't even find the breath.
That's right. And that's why what we do is focus harder on finding the breath, and we know that's all the information we need, that those voices are not our friend.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Good night.
Good night.
Thanks for joining us, Kate. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on KZSU Stanford. Fascinating group of callers tonight, huh, Sherry?
Yes, I forgot to ask Kate to keep us posted, but maybe she's still listening and will.
That would be great.
It's good to have follow-up on these. And so what happened to these people?
Yes.
You know, we want to know. So you kept looking and you kept practicing, and then what happened? What came next?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, they call in and they have some big decision or a big question, and
we never hear from them again.
We never hear from them again.
Yeah.
We can only hope they took your wonderful ideas and went with them.
Yes, got back to the breath and back to center and lived happily ever after. But
yes.
Even if that's the case, we want to know.
Yes.
That's the beauty of Sangha. You know, we practice and we train together and we kind of follow one another's lives.
Yes.
And there's a comfort in that. During this retreat, there were 19 of us, and I said we were like a flotilla. That's if we would just go around through life, 19 of us,
yes,
all together. And there's such a feeling of comfort and support and all of that, being together in that way. And to me, it's a good time to break up.
It is a good time to break up.
Let's talk next week.
Let's talk next week. Let's talk at 5 o'clock p.m. Pacific Standard Time next Tuesday. And people can give us a call then. And if you want to email us in the meantime, send us an email to openair@kzsu.org. You can listen to archives of all of the shows at Sherry's website, which is sherryhuber.com, spelled CHERIHUBER.com. I'd like to thank all of our callers today, all of our listeners locally here in the Bay Area and online also. We had Jay doing a splendid job on the engineering, and Nikki as always, and Nikki on the phones today. It's great to have them both here. Yes. We'll see you next week, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Sherry.
Good night.
Good night.